This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
ولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وأشهد أن نبينا وعظيمنا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد يقول جل جلاله في محكم كتابه أمن يبدأ الخلق ثم يعيده ومن يرزقكم من السماء والأرض أإله مع الله قل هاتوا برهانكم إن كنتم صادقين قل لا يعلم من في السماوات والأرض الغيب إلا الله وما يشعرون أيان يبعثون بل ادارك علمهم في الآخرة بل هم في شك منها بل هم منها عمون سبحانه وتعالى سورة النمل or else who is it that began creation and existence and who's the one who's going to bring it back again who's the one who provides provision within the cosmos and the earth is there another deity with Allah say bring your proof if you are truthful about your claim say no one knows the unseen within the cosmos and the earth except Allah and they don't know how quickly it is that their lives will end and they will be brought back to Allah. Indeed, they have no knowledge of the hereafter. Indeed, they are in a state of doubt regarding it. Indeed, they're in a state of blindness to that which is truthful. Within the series of contemporary issues that I started at the beginning of the summer and will continue, inshallah, throughout this month and probably parts of next month as well, today I'm going to talk about doubt and atheism as one of the leading problems that we deal or issues that we deal with within our Muslim community. Over the last maybe 7 to 8 weeks, the contemporary issues that I tackled were regarding or were affiliated or associated with some form of relationship, relationships, cross-gender relationships within marriage. But if you're going to leave the realm of relationships, which is what we are preoccupied by as human beings just by nature, then the number one problem that we face is the problem of doubt and atheism for sure. Today I'm going to give you this khutbah through the data that was accumulated, that was put together by a study done through Yaqeen Institute by Dr. Yusuf Shahood. May Allah preserve him. He has two articles on the website that I will share the links to, so you're encouraged to read those articles and to kind of get to know Yaqeen Institute a little bit more in case you don't. But he put together a study of around 600 American Muslims, and they just asked a number of questions. And all I'm going to do is going to share some of the data with you, and then I'll point out maybe some topics that I find to be important just based on my own experience here in this community and elsewhere as well. The questions that they asked, and I hope this works, inshallah. Now, the reasons for doubt or the reasons for the loss of faith are many. And Jazakumullah Khair, they put together a little bit of a diagram with kind of all the different reasons. Not all of the reasons are equal. I mean, they don't all carry the same weight in terms of their impact on the belief of Muslims. And by the way, the concept of the issue of doubt and the issue of atheism is not specific to the younger generation. This is across all ages and across both genders. It doesn't matter where you're living, whether you're living in the Middle East or you live in Mecca or you live here. This is a problem that everyone faces at some point in their lives and with different degrees of severity regarding different issues. And for sure, after 2010, after what is called the Arab Spring, there was a huge shift and the demographic shift in the diagram and shift in the number of people who suffered with this problem. For sure, this has a huge impact. War and death and destruction affects people's faith. It affects people's faith, unfortunately, negatively for the most part. Some people will walk away with a positive effect on their faith, but the majority of human beings walk away with a negative effect on their faith when it comes to these types of experiences. So, within the study, they put the reasons for doubt or atheism to three buckets or three categories. The number one, the first was moral and social concerns, which I find to be the one that has the largest effect by far, especially for younger ages. Especially for younger ages, this seems to affect them the most. Because they're impressionable, the social aspect of doubt and disbelief is really what affects them. Meaning, when they see hypocrisy within the Muslim ummah. I've talked about this a lot. And the reason that I'm using this study is because it is the only study that I'm aware of that actually looked at this issue from an objective perspective. And it did confirm one of the ideas I had. It doesn't confirm all of them. I'm not just happy that the study says what I say. But it did confirm one aspect of it, is that younger people are affected negatively with their faith when they see hypocrisy. And I'm not talking about, you know, the wide spectrum of what nifaq is. I'm talking about when people claim to be religious and they behave in ways that are heinous. They behave in ways that are just non-religious. They behave in ways that have no compassion or no empathy or lack any form of open-mindedness in the way that they approach stuff. This is the number one repellent. You want to repel people from Islam, act like you're really religious, and you walk around saying nonsense and be very closed-minded and tell people there's only one way to do things and only one way to understand things and point your finger and call people names. You will do an amazing job. You will remove people from Deen Allah Afwaja. It'll work out perfectly because it still is still happening today. Now, the list of reasons are up there. I'm not going to read them to you. They're just there for your... We'll share the slides, inshallah, after the khutbah. But I found them interesting that because this study actually drew all of the basic reasons from studies that were done by other faith leaders and other faith-based communities. Other communities do this stuff more than we do. As Muslims, we didn't really need to do this stuff, by the way. It was a blessing that we didn't have to go through all of this because Muslims just had a better grasp on their faith. They had an adherence to their religion that was strong enough to the point where we didn't need to go through all of this. Other faiths have suffered from these problems of doubt and atheism, so they had to go through this before us so we can benefit from their experiences. So the first reason are social and moral concerns. When there's an issue with morality, which shouldn't be the case because Islam morally is... I don't want to say the word superior because it always sounds a little bit but arrogant. It's beautiful, is the word I like to use to describe the social aspect, the morality of Islam. It's beautiful, it's profound, it's very delicate. It's something that is just breathtaking. And the fact that some Muslims, the younger Muslim generation, sometimes feel that there's an issue of morality within our deen. There's aspects of, you know, they have moral struggles within their own deen is just very depressing to me. It's very upsetting because it does not represent what our faith is actually about. The second bucket, I'm going to need help with the projector because it's not listening to me. Can someone give it a... No one? Yeah. Okay, we go. There we go. It worked. All right. So philosophical and scientific concerns. This is maybe less than the first one, but it's still for sure there. I did a series within Ramadan last year. Or this year, in 2023. I called it Facing Disbelief. It's 7 episodes. And I talk about atheism specifically and doubt, and I go through this aspect of it more in depth. The other aspects I don't cover as much because I don't think they're worth the time. I honestly don't. I honestly don't believe that you should walk away from your faith because there's some buffoon walking around acting like they adhere to it and saying things that make no sense. I don't think you should ever leave a faith because of one person who misrepresented it. Your faith should not be attached to anyone but Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. No one else is worth attaching your faith to. No one. No one, no one. Especially not someone like me. I'm just a person. If I mess up, it doesn't affect your faith. You get rid of me. You bring someone who's better than me. It doesn't matter. You shouldn't attach your faith to an individual, especially a flawed, mediocre individual who is just like you trying to get through life. But attach your faith to those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pointed out as the ones you should attach your faith to. So he said, attach your faith to me, Jalla Jalalullah, and to his prophets after him, especially Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then maybe some of the grand sahaba who came after him. Aside from that, you shouldn't attach your faith to people, so I don't like the social and moral concerns too much, as much as I validate and understand that they're a problem, but I just don't agree with them, because I think there's a fundamental problem for their existence. You are fundamentally misled on how to see faith in general. You should not attach it to human beings. Now, this one here, I can understand, because there's been a huge shift in the world today in terms of understanding science and scientism, and they're two different things, and there has been, for sure, a huge move towards scientism, throwing philosophy and logic and basic rationale behind us, calling it a pseudoscience in some sort. And that's just, to me, very weird, because without the basic laws of logic and rationale, I don't understand how you comprehend anything and how you put one and one together and how you end up with any conclusion at all. But this is something that's worth talking about. they were talking about the concept of evolution or talking about the existence of God himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala, or other issues. These are things you definitely need to spend time thinking about. Because once you arrive at this piece, once you have clarity here, the rest is like it's a domino effect for the rest. Everything else just works out. When you have problems in this domain, no matter what we do, no matter how many tarawih prayers you attend and how many tears you put, you will continue to suffer because there's a certain degree of cognitive dissonance that you're working with. Cognitive dissonance is something that the human brain, the human body, the human experience cannot put up with for too long. I mean, you can only put up with so much of cognitive dissonance before you make a choice. Before either you turn off the logical part of your brain and just go with what you're being told, which is not what Islam told you to do. Even if you're like, well, I'm going to do that for the sake of Islam. No, don't do it for the sake of Islam. Islam never tells you to do that. Islam never asks you to turn off your brain and walk blindly behind anyone. Not even behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not even behind him. Don't walk blindly behind anybody. Or you find ways to reconcile the two narratives that you have, and that's where we end up with this mush. That's where we end up with this horrible mix where someone just makes up a faith. They just come up with their own understanding of it. They walk in and start telling me stuff, and they're explaining, this is not what Islam is, and I'm sorry that you struggled with a certain degree of cognitive dissonance, and now that you need to reconcile it in a way that makes no sense. Or you need to go back and understand both concepts appropriately. And no one wants to do that because that takes too much time. That takes too much time. To go back and relearn Islam appropriately and relearn what it means and understand science appropriately, that takes too much time. That's an investment of a couple of years of work, of reprogramming your brain. No one wants to do that. We want quick solutions. We want quick solutions. We want to put it in the microwave and 5 minutes later it's ready for consumption and it tastes fine. Faith is not something that works like that. Understanding religion doesn't work like that. Religion is something that it's the most important aspect of your life. You need to know what it is that you stand for, why you're alive, where you're going with your life. Tell me a question that is more existential than this one. Tell me a question that's more important for you than that one. You have to make a decision. You can't live in the gray area all your life. I run into people like this all the time. Or they're in the gray. They're neither. That's okay maybe at the beginning. It's fine. You need some time to figure things out. But then you have to choose a lane. You have to figure out who you are and what you're going to do. And that requires you going through the proper process of learning. There are four sources of your belief or understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Four sources the Quran talks about. The Quran is filled with these four sources. That's all the Quran talks about. Almost every Makki surah has at least two of them being addressed. You know Allah through the universe that he created, through life itself, through history, and through your personal instinct and experiences. These are the four sources. There is never going to be proof of God. Let me just pop that bubble for you early on to make your life easier. There will never be proof because proof is a scientific term that requires some form of equation. It requires some form of measurement. God, subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah, is beyond the sphere of time and space. Science can only study things that exist within time and space, like you and I, and everything that we've ever observed or ever will observe. So whatever science proves to be God, by default, is not God anymore. So whatever, if science says, we have proof of God, then just by saying that, whatever you proved is not God. It could be this strong or powerful creature, but it's not God anymore. Because God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is beyond science. So you cannot measure Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with nothing. I know, we wish we could. We hope for it. People look for it. People always send me these pictures of, look what they measured. Look what they found here. Look at this atom. What am I looking at? I'm just looking at something that Allah created. What are you trying to show me? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that you don't need proof for Allah. What you need is evidence, and they're different things. It's the uniformity of evidence that allows you to have certainty in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all the arrows point in the same direction. When you look at the universe and you look at life and you look at history and you look at yourself, and all those arrows are pointing the same direction of la ilaha illallah, then you come to that conclusion. And you live. And if there's anything that makes more sense, hatu burhanakum, as the ayah said, bring your proof. Show us. Show us what makes more sense than this. Show us what has better evidence than this. And nothing will. And nothing will. And if this is something you struggle with, then I advise you heavily to listen to this series. It's called Facing Disbelief. You can find it on YouTube and on Facebook. And I heavily recommend it because it's important. Because it's something that, especially my younger generation, brothers and sisters, should listen to it for sure. The third bucket, which is personal trauma. Personal trauma. This was the least impactful. This was the least impactful one amongst all of the causes of doubt and atheism for the Muslims. After 2012, it moved itself upwards. It rocketed, skyrocketed to number 2, 3, and 4. It became, why? Because that's what happened. Because people living in the Middle East underwent horrific amounts of trauma and oppression and death. And people who don't have a proper understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the story of existence, when the boat is shook hard enough, they lose it. Which is why you have to build your faith on pillars that are solid. If you build your faith on something that is weak, the wind will come and blow it down. When someone comes to me and says, I believe in Allah because once I made a dua and he accepted it from me. That's what you're basing your iman on. Yeah. God protect you. May Allah protect you. You're in severe danger. You have no idea how much danger you are in. You're in a lot of danger if that's the basis of your iman. That's something you observe. And you praise Allah when it happens. And you show gratitude. It's the basis? That's what you built your iman on? No. Because you will make dua and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will postpone the response. Or will hold it for you yawm al-qiyamah. And when you come, he'll talk to you about it. Or will give you something for it instead. And then what happens? And then this very flimsy foundation of iman just collapses. You build your iman. The Quran tells us time and time again to look to the universe. Just look. Look at the sun. Look at the moon. Look at the mountains. Look at the rivers. Look at the creatures that are running around. Look at the sky. Look at the earth. Look. This is where you're going to get your faith from. You're going to get your iman from the source that never changes, which is the universe that he put around you, subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's where you're going to get the evidence of la ilaha illallah. And it is certain. And it is conclusive for sure. We just have to go back and understand what that means all over again. So the first question they asked in this survey or in this study that they did was, what was it that caused you to have a deep doubt within your deen, from the one that had the most effect to the one that had the least effect? That was the first question they put on this survey. 600 people answered this, by the way, which is a sizable amount of people for religious studies, by the way. We were lucky. We did a study at LMM, or it wasn't a study, it was a survey, and over 950 people actually responded to it. We haven't been very good at actually working with that data yet, but these numbers are reasonable for a study of this caliber. And here we have a number of so the one from the top to the bottom. The top is the one that has the most impact on doubt, and the lower one has the least impact on doubt. The longer the blue, the less the impact of this issue on doubt. And I will share these slides so you can read them, and the articles are online. But it's pointing out something interesting. It's pointing out that people who are religious, who behave in ways that are either acting like they have it all figured out and everyone else is wrong, and the only right thing is what they're doing, or people who are causing harm on others, was the leading cause for people to have doubt. Think about that. People who have doubt in Islam. Huh? Just think about it as a broad concept or broad aspect. That the leading cause for the majority of people who have doubts in Islam is the behavior of people who are Muslim, who are showing a certain degree of adherence to Islam. It's them. It's their behavior. It's their claims. It's the way they act that's causing the most doubt in Islam. Do you understand how problematic that is? Do you understand how much of an issue that is? We're standing up front, and yet we are the leading cause of people not wanting to be not having clarity in Allah. You see, doubt is, you can say, well, what problem is doubt? Is a huge problem. When you're doubtful about your faith, you're less likely to adhere to the rulings. You're less likely to follow the law. You're less likely to actually to belong to the community. You're less likely to practice the rituals. You're less likely to engage in any form of social gatherings or social protest or social justice. You're less likely to be a part of that ummah, and you're more likely slowly but surely drift away from the deen. It's all your offspring. This is a big deal. This is a big issue. And for the leading cause to be the behaviors of Muslims, people who are adhering to Islam, should force all of us to take a step back and really contemplate what we're doing. Contemplate how we understand our deen and what we're projecting upon others when we do so. They asked them a second question. Because all of people's doubts are dealt with. You deal with your doubts. And then after a while, you end up with another set of doubts. You start out with a few things that cause you doubt, and then you deal with them, and then you're stuck with maybe one or two. So the second question, what is currently still a problem for you? And if you look at the slide at the top, I'm not sure if it's clear, but terrorism was one of them. Terrorism was one of them. Extremism. Extremism. Again. What is extremism beside the behavior of other Muslims? Again. Back to that again. And self-trauma. And trauma was another one, obviously. But I'm just trying to point out something that we can change. I can't fix people's trauma. I can't come to you and remedy your trauma. I can't do that. We can help you. We can support, inshallah, to the best of our ability. But we can't take away your trauma. Your trauma is your trauma. You have to learn to deal with it. But we can for sure fix this one. This leading cause that is there at the beginning and after people deal with their doubt is still there. We can deal with that. We can change the way we represent our deen. We can make sure that we do this appropriately. We can make sure that we project upon people a representation of Islam that is positive, that people want to join. You see, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and the Muslims, they didn't have a lot of wealth. They didn't have the largest castles or homes. They didn't have the most machinery. They were magnets. People were attracted. They wanted to be like them. They wanted to be like these individuals because of their ethics and their morals and their closeness and their social construct and people wanted to be like Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People dreamt of how is it that he did this? How is it that he stands there and he has Sa'd ibn Ubad and Abu Bakr as-Siddiq from completely different backgrounds are standing there in brotherhood. They wanted to be like that. It was cool. It was cool to be Muslim. It was frowned upon by the dictators, but it was cool. Because you brought forward this fresh breath of air. You brought forward this change in how you were going to function in society. It was amazing. So people want to be Muslim. The only reason they weren't is because they feared the repercussions, the political repercussions. When our own Muslim brothers and sisters don't really care to be religious because of how religious people behave, it makes me just want to slam my head against the wall. Because I don't know how we arrived at that. And It should be such an easy fix. So they went on and they talked about, I don't think I have enough time to go through all of this. What I do want to show you is the effect. Okay, here's the effect on doubt. Forget about Quest, because Quest was a question that was worded in a way that was very confusing. Even the author kind of pointed out it was a little bit of an outliner. Look at the other two. Dogmatism. So dogmatism over here. And religious education. They affect doubt in the opposite manner. Dogmatism is when you are overly strict with your children on Islamic practices. When you're overly strict. When everything has to happen like clockwork all the time from a young age. That dogmatism does not actually make less doubt. It makes for more doubt. But what they found in this study, in all of the modules that all the analyses that they went through, is that religious education was the number one reason that reduced or decreased doubt and atheism amongst Muslim followers. It was education. It was making sure they were properly educated, that they learned. They weren't forced to attend things they didn't want to force. They weren't forced to act in certain ways they didn't want to act or dress in a certain way they didn't want to dress. They were properly educated. They're taught. There's been time invested in their comprehension and in their understandings of the deen. That correlated beautifully with less doubt all across the study and in every sub-analysis that they did. Education. Subhanallah. You go back to square one. Iqra. Just read. Read what? Whatever you want. Bismillah. Just do it in the name of your Lord, the one who created. The one who created the human being from a clot of blood. Read. Iqra. What, Ya Rab? Wa Rabbuka al-Akram. Read anything you want. Read, and your Lord is the most generous. If you read. If you just read. If you just read. No? All right. Fine. Deal with this then. Read. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه يغفر لكم يا فوز المستغفرين استغفر الله. الحمد لله وحده وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اتبع نهجه ووفى عهده. I think I'm done. These are the two links for the two study, for the two articles that he has. One of them is the study. Another one is a previous study that he did. Similarly, similar results, a little bit of different presentation. سأختصر لكم باللغة العربية بسرعة إن شاء الله تعالى. إخواني اليوم الحديث عن قضية الإلحاد. هذه قضية والله أنا نشأت ما كنت أسمعها كثيرا. لم تكن قضية مترددة عندنا في الدين. ولا في 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 يعني في الديار التي سكنتها في السعودية أو في الشام. ثم من بعد الحروب التي اندلعت في البلاد العربية ابتدى الأمر يتضح بشكل غريب. ابتدى المسلمون يخرجون بفكر إلحادي. المسلم كان عادته كانت المشكلة مع المسلمين هي عدم الالتزام بالشرع. لكن الكل معتقد بلا إله إلا الله، الاعتقاد موجود أن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين، أنه عليه الصلاة والسلام يستحق أن يتبع، لكن أنا مقصر، هكذا كان الفكر. أنا واحد تعبان ضايع يا شيخ ادعي لي، هكذا. ثم من بعد هذه السنوات خرج علينا جيل لا يلتزمون للحاد، لا يؤمنون بوجود إله مطلقة. وهذا الأمر لم أكن قد عانيت منه من قبل ولم أره من قبل، وهو تأثير الأسى والدماء والحروب. هذا ما تفعله الحروب، هذا تأثير الحرب على البشر. البشر يخسرون أديانهم، أولئك الذين بنوا أديانهم على هش إذا ما أتت ريح الحياة أوقعت الريح دينهم. وهذه الدراسة الموجودة تحت يقين إنستيتوت دراسة جميلة، يعني تم سؤال أكثر من 600 مسلم في أمريكا عن أسباب شكوكهم وأسباب ريبهم في دين الله سبحانه وتعالى على مستويات مختلفة، وقاموا بتصنيف هذه الشكوك وخرجوا بنتائج متقاربة. والذي أريد أن أشير إليه في هذه الدراسة هو أن السبب الأول فيما يسبب الريب أو الشك الأولي المبدئي والشك الثانوي والذي يؤثر في السلوك هو سلوك المسلمين، هو سلوك الذين يدعون الالتزام بالدين. هذا كلامهم. ينبغي للمسلم أن يستمع، أن يأخذ النصح، أن يستمع إلى أولئك الذين يعانون من الريب والشكوك. وهذه المعاناة يتم توثيقها بأسلوب يعني يحافظ على هويات الناس، أن السبب الأول في كلا الحالتين هو سلوك المسلمين غير السوي. أنت إذا ما التزمت دين الله وقفت في الصف الأول أصبحت تمثل الإسلام، وأصبح الناس ينظرون إلى الإسلام من خلالك. أنا لا أتفق مع هذا الفعل، هذا الفعل خاطئ لكنه حقيقي. هناك فرق بين الصحيح وبين الواقعي. الواقع أن الناس ينظرون إلى الدين من خلالك، فإذا كنت إنسانا غير سوي في معاملاتك، تأكل المال الحرام، إذا كنت إنسان ما تصدق في كلامك، إذا كنت إنسان منغلق التفكير تنقصهم الرحمة في قلوبهم، إذا كان الواحد ضرابا لزوجته، مؤذيا لجيرانه، عاقا لوالديه، جاهلا في أمور الحياة، لا يتسع عقله لمتغيرات الزمان والمكان، فهذا ينفر الناس من الدين. هذا السبب الأول. وهذه قضية يعني ينبغي علينا أن ننظر فيها وأن نتأملها حتى لا نحاسب عليها يوم القيامة. This is what I want to share with you today. Atheism and doubt is not something that can be talked about within a 30-minute khutbah for sure. But I want to end it by saying this. It's normal and it's natural for you to have doubts. It's natural. It tells me that your brain works. That means you're a normal human being who has critical thinking abilities and runs through doubts throughout their lives. That's fine. Don't be ashamed of doubts that you carry. It's fine. Just make sure that you take them seriously enough so you don't continue to live in that area of doubt for the rest of your life. All that is required of you is that you take them seriously enough and that you study and you learn and you educate yourself and you access the sources, the proper sources to teach you about your deen so that you don't live with doubt for the rest of your life. It is possible. I am telling you, it is very likely that you can live a life where you're not dealing with doubt in your heart and you are intellectual with a high degree of intelligence and a lot of academic accolades and whatever. It's not a problem. But we have to deal with this problem seriously. We have to make sure that we actually focus on it. But don't be, this khutbah is not to shame someone who has doubt. Not at all. Not at all. I understand it for sure. I'm just saying that you're not entitled to stay there for the rest of your life. And you have to have doubts that make sense. And you have to make sure you educate yourself first and foremost. I'm going to end this khutbah with the following verses. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِن كُنْتُمْ فِي شَكٍ مِّن دِينِي فَلَا أَعْبُدُ الَّذِينَ تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ وَلَكِنْ أَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ الَّذِي يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ وَأُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَأَنْ أَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا وَلَا تَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ وَلَا تَدْعُ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَنْفَعُكَ وَلَا يَضُرُّكَ فَإِنْ فَعَلْتَ فَإِنَّكَ إِذًا مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ وَإِنْ يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍّ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُوَ وَإِنْ يُرِدْكَ بِخَيْرٍ فَلَا رَادَّ لِفَضْلِهِ يُصِيبُ بِهِ مَن يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ قل يا أيها الناس قد جاءكم الحق من ربكم فمن اهتدى فإنما يهتدي لنفسه ومن ضل فإنما يضل عليها وما أنا عليكم بوكيل واتبع ما يوحى إليك واصبر حتى يحكم الله وهو خير الحاكمين. I hope that was a benefit for you. وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَنَا بِأَمْرٍ عَظِيمٍ فَقَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. وارض اللهم عن الأربعة الخلفاء السادة الحنفاء أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي. وارض اللهم عن أزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وعن آله الطيبين الطاهرين وعن صحابته الغر الميامين وعن التابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وعنا معهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات. اللهم فرج هموم المهمومين ونفس كروب المكروبين وارفع الغم عن المغمومين وارفع الظلم عن المظلومين واحقن دماءنا ودماء المسلمين. اللهم انصر إخواننا المرابطين في المسجد الأقصى ورده إلينا في العاجل القريب يا رب العالمين. وردنا أجمعين إليك وإلى دينك ردا جميلا وتب علينا من جميع ذنوبنا توبة نصوحا طهرنا بها قلبا وجسدا وروحا وما ذلك عليك اللهم بعزيز. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر المنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. أقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
دائما أبدا لا إله إلا الله. استوى اعتدلوا تقيموا لا تختلفوا حادوا من المناكب سدوا الخلل لا تدعوا فرنجا بينكم سووا الصف تسويت الصف من إقام الصلاة تموا الأول فالأول لينوا بأيدي إخوانكم shoulder to shoulder ankle to ankle put your toes on the front part of the dark gray line and on the green line up front close in the gaps and straighten your lines and silence your phones استوى يرحمكم الله. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. أمن يبدأ الخلق ثم يعيده ومن يرزقكم من السماء والأرض أإله مع الله قل هاتوا برهانكم إن كنتم صادقين قل لا يعلم من في السماوات والأرض الغيب إلا الله وما يشعرون أيان يبعثون بل ادارك علمهم في الآخرة بل هم في شك منها بل هم منها عمون الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر بسم الله الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين وحيل بينهم وبين ما يشتهون كما فعل بأشياعهم من قبل إنهم كانوا في شك مريب الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله
جزاك الله خيرا شيخ عنان just a reminder about all the halaqas this weekend are actually canceled this week and next. There is an LMM event tonight between Maghrib and Isha on Palestine. We encourage everyone to attend that. There's also a barbecue tomorrow for LMM at Arva Park from 12 till 7. Please take your families there and enjoy it. I want to say good luck on the school year for those going to school this upcoming week. I hope it's safe and beneficial for everyone. Sheikh Adnan is doing an excellent job. Every night there's a hadith review. This past week he did a very beautiful job of looking at the etiquette of Jum'ah and the importance of Jum'ah. So I would highly encourage you with your families to listen to this, to subscribe to the YouTube channel. We don't post all of those because we don't want to spam the WhatsApp groups. But they are basically, if you subscribe to the YouTube, they're there every night. So please benefit from those with your families and your children because they will benefit and they will take a very positive narrative if you can't make it here in person. So please do your part and let them get that benefit. Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullah. No Q&A today either. Sorry, no Q&A today. Have a wonderful Jum'ah. Assalamu alaikum. And one last thing, sorry, I will post the facing disbelief list that is compiled. So facing disbelief, if you have someone in high school, university age, I think it's a very appropriate for them. It complements this khutbah. JazakAllah khairan.